Hello and welcome back to Three Dudes, One Pod, part of Primetime Sports Talk. Today we are here to talk about two things, the NFL draft and this last week's episode of The Last Dance. Guys, how do you feel about the draft this last week?
I thought there were some surprising picks, but for my team, I'm a big Bears fan, and I don't know, I thought we did decent. We lost a lot of our picks still from back, like when we traded Khalil Mack, or got traded for Khalil Mack.
Yeah, we're still kind of paying for that.
Yeah, we're still paying for that. So we didn't really get a great, like, first-round pick, but I thought we picked up a good tight end in Cole Kmet, however you pronounce that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree.
And that's what we needed, but
I need more offensive power.
We had a decent grade for the draft.
Max, how about you and your Packers?
And your Packers.
My Packers.
A little tough.
Yeah, that was very tough. But
kind of surprising, too.
Yeah,
Packers
up for a quarterback.
For their franchise quarterback.
It gets you thinking. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got to go at some point. He's been in the league so long. So
how old is he now? Mid-30s?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So I wonder if it's going to bring back Mad Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Mad Aaron Rodgers is, like, dangerous.
He'll probably just go off this year. No,
he probably will.
Yeah, he comes out of nowhere. Everyone thinks, oh, this is going to be his last season. He's getting old.
But the problem is, he has no one to throw to.
Yeah, they didn't pick up a wide receiver. Every time they'd come up in each round, I was like, all right, they're going to pick up a wide receiver. And
last year, that was their, like, outstanding problem. Everyone knew that.
Yeah. And then at one point, T. Higgins was still on the board, and they didn't take him. And I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah. Interesting. But
yeah, they got a tight end in the third round, but I honestly, I've never heard of them before, so I don't. From Cincinnati.
It happens.
Tough scene. Cincinnati's football program. Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyways, you guys want to do like a little Mount Rushmore four best teams this draft in your guys' opinion?
In my opinion, I had Dallas picking up CeeDee Lamb, the Vikings with Justin Jefferson, Bengals obviously with Joe Burrow, and then the Ravens with Patrick Queen.
I agree on two of those. I agree with the Vikings. They had a really good draft with Jefferson. And then I agreed with the Ravens as well. The Ravens picked up Patrick Queen. And then they kind of had a steal in J.K. Dobbins, which was big. Because they have a running back presence with Mark Ingram, but also he's getting kind of old and like he's more of a throw-to kind of guy. And I thought J.K. Dobbins being still on the board, one of the best running backs, was a big pickup for them in the second round.
Agreed.
Yeah, I also thought the Vikings probably had one of the best. But the Browns.
The Browns.
The Browns. The underdogs. I think they got Jedrick Wills.
Let's be honest, though. How many years do we think that the Browns had a great draft? And then they go out and disappoint.
That's very true, but it's gotta pay off at some point, right?
That's true. Another team that I had, my third team was the Cardinals. They picked up Isaiah Simmons. That kind of surprised me picking up Isaiah Simmons eighth because they didn't really need like too big of a defensive presence, but also like that's a huge pick because you can play him. They can play him at safety or they can play him at linebacker, and he's just like a flexible defender that has a real presence from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also thought Tampa Bay did pretty good.
I don't know if that's just our boy Wurfs.
I know.
Yeah, Mount Vernon's
just because I'm an Iowa fan or what, but I just...
Did you guys see the video of him? I saw it on
Twitter. Jumping out of the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
320 plus pounds.
Unbelievable.
He jumps out of the pool, dude.
Water's probably up to his waist.
Yeah, to jump out, he has to jump at least to his waist.
Unbelievable.
That was crazy. He's a freak athlete.
Yeah. And that's the one thing everyone thought he was going to struggle on was like his athleticism.
Exactly.
But then it was just like out of the roof.
There was articles released like right before the draft, like, or the combine, I mean, and they were like, does he lack like the athleticism that the NFL needs? And then he goes out and he sets the record for offensive linemen.
Like
for
everything.
Vertical, long jump. Had the best 40 time of the year.
Little Mount Vernon native boy.
Right when the Tampa Bay started, they traded up for it. I knew they were going to take him. And I think it's going to be fun for him to go into a program that has two veteran championship-winning players. And they can kind of show him the ropes. And he's literally going to be lining up next to Gronk. I mean, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I know. That's one of the things, like, I think the Buccaneers are going to make it pretty far this year.
I think they'll be good. And we'll see what Belichick does with the Patriots. Do you see they downgraded their uniforms? Like they said, oh, we're coming out with these new uniforms. They look like a JV team.
Yeah.
It's like, it's bad.
It seems like the teams that have, I like Atlanta's, but like the Chargers, I feel like also like kind of cleaned up their uniform in like a not so good way. Like it's just like a little boring.
I think the Chargers helmets are really cool.
Really?
Also, some of the color rush, like their colors are just cooler to do color rushes than everyone else's.
But I feel like they could have done more with like the colors they have.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know.
Atlanta's uniforms remind me of the uniforms from The Longest Yard.
Oh yeah, I kind of like them though. That's probably my favorite one that have come out so far.
They're kind of like a classic look.
Yeah.
One more team that I wanted to talk about was the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Picking up AJ Epenesa. Bills Mafia, baby.
Absolutely.
And then he'll be Jake Fromm, too, from Georgia.
Epenesa's from Edwardsville, where I go to school, too.
Oh, yes.
So everyone there's happy.
I read an article about that.
Yeah.
Edwardsville Pride. How do you
guys feel about him going so late?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more because his combine was weak. He was the second D end in the draft, but he had a rough combine. And then he got moved down to the second round. But
yeah, it was surprising to me though. Like he was like very dominant at Iowa. Like by far the best player.
Yeah, no, he was. I mean, he should have been the first round pick, but people slept on him just because of a bad 40 time and stuff.
Yeah, didn't he have like a 5?
Yeah, he ran like a 5 flat, maybe 4.9 something. Which
I think it was 4.9 or 5,
which isn't very good. But they'll sleep.
Yeah, you just need a powerful DN. You don't need a fast one.
Exactly. Like, he'll blow through.
Tactical player. Agreed.
So, and then also I wanted to talk about one other team. Who was I going to? They had a decent draft. Oh, the Panthers had a decent draft. They picked up a bunch of defensive players, like a lot. They went D-tackle, D-end, safety, cornerback, safety, D-tackle, cornerback.
Yeah.
Those were their first 7 picks. I thought that was like a good draft for them because offensive wise they got McCaffrey, they got Teddy Bridgewater. They're going to be decent offensively, and defensively they've never been that good. So them going for like an all out defensive like draft was, I think, was smart of them. And Derek Brown is just he's a massive human being from Auburn. Oh my god. So
330 pounds.
Yeah, he's a bigger boy.
So, one thing I want to say before we get too late in this podcast is that the people I've talked to have listened to the podcast so far. A lot of them have told me that they've only listened like the first 5-10 minutes. Or you got to listen to the end. The end of our podcast is always the best.
We get
more relaxed. We get more into it. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking about getting off, listen to the end of it. Go through it. It's just going to get better for me.
The end of our podcast is always the funniest.
It's always the best.
We always end up just, I don't know, we're relaxed and just laughing. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Make sure you stick through it.
So,
we're going to get into the last dance here pretty soon, so stay into it.
Right.
And we usually add something fun at the end for you guys. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I don't know, we're working on the giveaway. I don't know if we haven't fully set up yet, but we can do a trivia question either way. Like, we can ask one at the end of the day. So if you're listening, stick with us. We'll maybe ask a trivia question at the end, and then you can go into the comments on Twitter or Instagram and let us know.
Yeah, I forgot to mention at the start, but make sure and follow the socials too.
Yeah,
3 Dudes 1 Pod on both Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, the number 3 Dudes 1 Pod, and then both of them. So
yeah,
but yeah, I guess that was a little turning point. We can go into the last dance if you guys want.
Absolutely. I mean, clearly from those who watched it, it was easy to tell that, you know, the focus for this one was obviously Dennis Rodman and kind of learning about who he is and why he kind of is and looks the way he does. And I mean, obviously adding Rodman to the Bulls was a risk, but in the end, I mean, it just paid dividends for them. It was like that last little thing they needed to create a championship team. And, you know, he added that to them, obviously, with his rebounding, not necessarily his scoring, but I mean, a great player for them and the Bulls team.
And really, it went from like Rodman being their archenemy on the Bad Boy Pistons to being their teammate. And I'm sure they loved that. Like, they talked about how Jordan and Pippen, like, Dennis Rodman showed up and he fit right in. Usually when a guy like Dennis Rodman shows up to your team, he's not going to fit right in just because of how unique he is.
Yeah.
And then he showed up to the Bulls and they were like, you know, we can use this guy. Like, he is going to be with us now instead of being that our nemesis.
Yeah, and those Pistons were really like a big main point of like what the Bulls had to overcome in that Eastern Conference, because basically from in 89 and 90, the NBA Finals was determined in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And
I mean, it was those two teams, because I mean, they were saying that the Pistons swept every team except for the Bulls. I mean, even in the finals. Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize, like, everyone always like talks crap about who Jordan played against. They don't realize he played against Bad Boy Pistons like four consecutive years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're like,
no, I don't understand that argument at all.
Oh, he played against mailmen and like,
like, Jordan's literally playing against the best players in the NBA at that time.
And then
he goes and plays
against Magic in the championship and beats them 4-1.
I don't understand that argument at all.
So,
doesn't make any sense.
Know. I mean, from what I've seen,
it's because people from this generation don't recognize the names from them.
He played in the roughest era of NBA basketball ever.
Let's talk about that.
Easily.
Like, the Pistons in 2020, for how they played, would have been suspended.
Easily. Ever since,
like, if you watch some of those clips with Bill Laimbeer, like, he's literally body-slamming players.
Like,
you wouldn't believe.
What I thought was hilarious was Big Cat, like, tweeted the video, and he's like, they didn't include this in the Last Dance, which I was confused about, but it was one of the Bulls players. I couldn't really tell who it was. He was laying in the ground. He got hurt on like a previous possession on defense, and then they went all the way down the other side of the floor, and the Pistons scored or whatever, and they came back, and he was still on the ground.
I think it was Pippen, wasn't it?
It might have been Pippen, yeah. And then the ref walked over to him and grabbed his like arm and literally just dragged him out of the way off the court.
Oh, maybe it wasn't Pippen. Because I remember there was a video of, I think it was Rodman, like, who pushed Pippen into, like, the stands.
Yeah. No, I remember that.
That's what I was thinking.
Everyone thought he was going to get super hurt.
Yeah.
They didn't include this video, but it was a video of the ref literally just dragging off an injured player out of the way.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
So they could keep going and play 4-on-5.
but I remember, I think it was the Conference Finals of 89, the Pistons created what they called them, the Jordan rules.
Yeah.
Where it's basically you see him and you get him, which, like, by get him, you mean, like, put him to the ground, which is, like, a hilarious
thing. Rodman said when he steps 1 foot in the lane, it's like you don't let him get off the ground because they can't control him in the air.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like they just foul him. They'd rather put him at the line.
If he gets off the ground, he's going to do, like, just a Jordan move and be able to score.
Yeah.
But,
it's crazy.
I just thought it was interesting how Jordan and IT, Isaiah Thomas, still have beef to this day.
Oh, the dynamic between them was hilarious. Like, the difference in opinion with how they handled, like, the Pistons leaving the floor in 90.
Yeah. No.
Crazy.
I don't know. It was just crazy.
His argument was awful for that. I mean, I was listening to that with Isaiah Thomas, and he was saying that how when they beat Boston or whatever, when they finally overcome them, that they just like left the floor with time serving on the clock, so they thought it was somehow okay to do that.
They'd beaten
other teams before that would obviously shake their hands, and MJ like brought up the point that like every time the last few years they lost them in the finals, they'd shake their hands, they'd out of respect and like sportsmanship for the game. Like, it was crazy.
I wasn't surprised, honestly. Like, that's something they would do. Like, they finally lose to Jordan in the third year or whatever, third or fourth time after playing him in the championship, and then they walk off like sore losers, and they got swept too.
Yeah,
it was even more embarrassing.
I think we can officially add that Piston team to the villains of the quarantine 2020.
Oh, for sure. Isaiah Thomas, though, it's like he's one of those guys that like you want to be a fan of him because he's always smiling.
Yeah.
And then he plays on this absolute villain team, and it just makes it so much worse. Like, it makes you dislike him so much more. He's always smiling.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Definitely a different team than what we're used to nowadays.
Well, yeah, and nowadays, think about the Grayson Allens nowadays that, like, they trip somebody in the game, and, like, the backlash is incredible.
Like, yeah, like, the whole media hates them.
They get ousted from the NCAA, basically. Like, they're just not considered, like a big player in the NBA anymore. And now, like, you think, watching this, looking back, it's like, that's not even how it was back then. Like you trip somebody, that was, like, not the worst thing that was going to happen that game.
Yeah.
Like, someone was going to throw a punch.
From watching the highlights from the Pistons team when they were showing them just, like, roughhousing, it always seemed like it was their center, Bill Laimbeer. I mean, he was always in the middle of everything, and it was his idea to leave the floor.
Yeah, no, he seemed like he was the instigator most of the time.
Yeah.
And he was just a huge dude, so, I mean, you can see how you'd how it would work every time he'd foul, you know, Jordan coming in the lane. I mean, how are you gonna stay on your feet when that guy body checks you?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think like the NBA especially just way too soft nowadays.
Mm-hmm. No, I think there's,
like, you tap someone, they call foul. Yeah,
I think you gotta have, like, a middle ground where, I mean, you can be physical because, I mean, it's a sport. I mean, you should be physical in sports, but not to that extent for sure. But you gotta find a good middle ground.
Yeah.
It's just now the society of, like, the NBA now has this flopping aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of ruins like all the fouls. I mean, there's still obviously, you know,
it's kind of started by everyone's princess, LeBron James.
Yeah. Everyone else's goat. That's how it started. But, like, I don't know. Once someone flops from a petty foul and the refs call it, they're just enabling it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just,
because if someone hits the ground in the NBA nowadays, the refs, regardless, always call a foul, whether it's charging or a block. It's always a foul.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. If a ref can't decide if it's either a charge or a block, just let them play.
Swallow the whistle.
Yeah.
Let them play.
Like, I don't know. I mean, they probably have to an extent because, I mean,
everyone's worried about safety nowadays in the NBA. So, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are all, like, they're training 24/7. They're big dudes. Like, let them hit the ground. It's not going to kill them.
I mean, all they're worried about is injuries. And, like, if you think about it, like, Jordan, he didn't stop going into the lane. Like, he kept going in the lane.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the greatest players ever. And, obviously, he's one to be worried about injuries. And he plays, like, 60 minutes a game. And and all of a sudden, he's getting thrown on the ground.
Yeah, Jordan rules.
Yeah, Jordan rules. But
it's such a hilarious title.
I thought another funny aspect was Phil Jackson being, like, a total, like, Native American kind of hippie dude. Like, I had no idea his background.
I hope they get into more on him. Because, like, I didn't realize it too, but he won two titles as a player.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And then he won
good.
Six with the Bulls and won a few with the Lakers. Like, he's definitely one of the most been a part of the most championship teams.
Because that's, I mean,
that's unbelievable.
I just,
as a player and as a coach,
I think it's hilarious how you have a guy like Phil Jackson as your coach, and there's all these different personalities that come in. You have Jordan, who is the winner, you know, like, one of the greatest to ever play, and then you have Pippen coming in, kind of even keeled, kind of like, I don't want to call him a pushover, but he kind of needs that backup to help him. Like Jordan was talking about during the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all you need to do is stand by Scotty, and it makes him 10 times stronger.
Yeah.
But you have him coming in. So all these different personalities. And you have Rodman. And Rodman's just a wild card.
Yeah.
And then Phil Jackson's able to captivate all this and then turn him into this incredible super team.
Well, I thought it was a cool move. Or, like, I mean, obviously everyone's kind of against Krause. But, yeah. I mean, Doug Collins was coaching the team, led them to the Eastern Conference Finals in 88 or 89. And then they fire him. Or not, like, they basically get rid of him so they can bring Phil Jackson in the middle of the season.
They fired him, and everyone was like, hold on. Like, he just took you to a conference championship.
And in the middle of the interview, it didn't seem like Collins was really, like, pissed off about it. Because it seemed like he almost knew that
he was on
Jackson playoff. Knew more.
Yeah.
like, because the way they portrayed it, it seemed like Phil Jackson was just learning so much from, what was his name? Like, that offensive genius.
Yeah, he had a weird
I mean, he was just, he was learning from him. And it seemed like Collins could kind of tell that, I mean, Phil was just starting to become more and more, like, involved with the team and knew more about the game and was helping him win.
Collins was more of like a, Jordan kind of, you know, let's grow Jordan to be like the best player ever. And,
Phil and that's Jackson what MJ like, said too.
Phil Jackson was like, no, let's be the best team.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you got to give credit to Phil Jackson. I mean, obviously.
And it seemed like the Bulls losing in 90 kind of flipped the switch for Jordan to that team aspect instead of like the individual accolades.
Because, I mean, he came off when Collins was coaching, he was like defensive player of the year.
MVP. Everything.
NBA
scoring record,
NBA All-Star scoring record, like all that.
Yeah.
And then Phil Jackson comes in and kind of changes up the whole thing, and Jordan he flowed with it, like he was able to do it, which is like you got to give credit to him, like he was less selfish.
Yeah. I hope they get more into Phil Jackson. I think he's an interesting dude because I didn't know the native background of him.
Yeah, no, that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing was B.J. Armstrong got some screen time from University of Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about...
I did see that.
He was talking about how the team came together after that one summer, after they lost to the Pistons and everyone hit the weight room.
Yeah, that was cool.
And Jordan kind of just... Well, I mean, the whole team just hit the weight room and became, like, way stronger. And they were ready to play the Pistons then.
Yeah. I thought a cool part of it, too, is when... Dennis Rodman was explaining like why he's become so good at rebounds and how he reacts to every player shooting and like how the ball lands off the rim where he needs to be exactly.
Watches
to get
the spin of the ball and all that stuff.
Like unbelievable.
It's a whole different game.
Because
like, no one does that.
The dude is 6'7".
Yeah.
Or like something like that. Like he might not even be like a power forward. Like he's just like he understands the game.
A trivia fact that popped up about him too. He had 10. I think it was 10 games, maybe even more. It might have been, I don't know.
Oh, I think I heard talking about.
I don't know how many games it was. It was more than 10. 10 or more. And he had 20 rebounds and 0 points.
Yeah, I saw that.
0 points. 20 rebounds.
I mean, that is unbelievable. Like, if a player, like, any time gets more rebounds and points, it's kind of crazy. But to do 20 and 0.
Yeah, I mean, like, even like the Andre Drummonds nowadays that get, like, they get insane credit for doing, like, a 20-20.
And the way they were describing it, I mean, to me, it seemed like Rodman didn't start playing basketball till he, like, college.
Yeah, like, they just noticed him at, like, the YMCA or something one day.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like they didn't explain that enough or really, like, emphasize how crazy that is.
It was crazy that he just got kicked. His mom just kicked him out. Like,
yeah.
And he said he was sleeping in backyards, basements.
Yeah, I feel like you could make a whole documentary on that guy. Yeah, and like people would tune into it just as much. Like there's gotta be so much to him. And he probably wouldn't want that to happen, but like
I thought the scene that described like the 90s the most was when they showed Rodman leaving like the Bulls, either practice center or the United Center. One of the
on the motorcycle.
And he's walking out with a Miller Lite.
He chugs
the Miller Lite, finishes it, hops on his motorcycle and drives away.
Yeah. That was like the signal point where he was going to Vegas for his vacation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought the whole vacation thing was hilarious too.
Yeah.
Like what player nowadays would you ever see take a 2-day vacation, go down to Vegas?
What coach would allow that to happen? Yeah. But like, it seemed like they knew that that's what he needed.
Exactly.
Like that's just how he works. He's gotta let loose.
They catered really well to every player on the team. That's how they were so good.
Yeah.
Jordan even like put up with it. He, if anyone would get mad, you'd think it'd be him like getting really pissed at him. But
the way they portrayed it in the thing, it seemed like they said Jordan was the one who went and got him.
Vegas. Yeah, he was still
Which is
sleeping.
Hilarious.
He was still sleeping in, like, the hotel room or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't even know if his hotel room, but... And then they dragged him out to practice, and they still have that footage of it, because they let that camera crew follow him that whole year.
Yeah, that's true.
He's in his pajamas on the court.
Yeah, that was funny. That was really funny. Max, you got anything important to say about it?
You know. I don't.
A lot has been said, to say the least.
I think there's a lot more that they're going to show based on, like, individual players on the team and stuff. And I'm excited to see, like, what happens to
the
downfall of that team.
Yeah, no, there's a preview of, like, I think next week they're going to show Kobe in it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And it's, like, never seen before footage of Kobe. So everyone's like, oh, my gosh, like, he filmed this before he died. And all that stuff. So everyone's going to be, like, tuned in for that. And that'll be interesting to see young Kobe and Jordan face off.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to see how, like, Jordan and Pippen and Phil Jackson react to the end of the season.
Yeah.
If they've got, like, footage of it and, like, you know, what they're saying and how they're feeling. Because, I mean, they showed it in the episode yesterday where Kraus basically came out with a quote saying that, was it when he said Phil Jackson isn't coming back to, like, the media?
He said that, too.
Because then the media started asking Jordan, like, are you leaving? And he's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, after every
game. At that
point,
he's just like, yeah, there's no way I'm coming back.
Yeah. And Kraus came out and said, like, yeah, whether we have Jordan or not, like, it's his decision, but we're going to move on. We're going to rebuild.
See, as a GM who, like, cares about his team, I don't know how you can just ever say that. Like, it's so selfish. And, like, you've got the best player and debatably one of the best coaches, like, ever on your team, but you just want to, like, rebuild.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, I get Jordan's, like, at the end of his career, and it's like, yeah, he probably won't be playing very much, and then you have, like, Pippen and all them, their contracts are up. But he just kind of, like, he ruins the fun. Like, that's why everyone hates him. Like, everyone wants to see this team stay together, and obviously it's not that realistic that they do, but, I mean, you could re-sign him, you could keep Phil after, you know, a great season.
I saw a good take on it on Pardon My Take podcast last week, saying that Kraus probably wanted more credit, or he deserved more credit than he got, but wanted more credit than he deserved.
Yeah.
Which I think is really true, and just kind of like, was probably a big reason why everything just ended, because he just wanted the credit and didn't get it.
It was the whole thing, like, no one, like, he grew up and, like, no one respected him and all that stuff, and, like,
yeah,
because he was, like, short and fat or whatever. But
yeah.
Yeah,
but he's a whole new character, though. I mean,
yeah,
if any coach came out nowadays, well, I guess not coach, GM came out nowadays, and, like, after the Warriors, they won their last championship before, like, KD left and all that. And they were like, yeah, like, it was a great season. Like, we had a great run, but we're going to fire Steve Kerr. And we're going to rebuild.
This is ridiculous.
Like, it's not a great comparison because, like, the players are still young. But,
yeah,
it's as far as I can think of right now.
It's basically, like, the same thing.
Yeah. It's just
whack. It's what you could relate it to.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't understand how an owner of the Bulls can just be okay with that. Like, because can't the owner fire the GM? Isn't that how that works?
For sure. He brought us in.
I don't know how an owner of a franchise that knows they've won the last six titles can just be okay with that.
Yeah. It was like,
can just let that freely happen. That just blows my mind.
Jerry Reinsdorf was his name.
I don't remember the name.
He brought Kraus in.
Yeah, which I mean, owners do.
It was controversial, but apparently, I mean, obviously it worked.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He kind of just let Kraus run the show and just kind of sat back, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which nowadays, you got, like, your owners super involved, like Jerry Jones in the NFL. A man loves to be involved.
You guys, got anything else pressing needed to be said?
No, I got some questions for you guys.
Ooh, I love it.
Favorite part of the podcast right here. If you're still listening, buckle up.
This is why you're here.
This is why you're here. This is the best part.
All right. I'm going to switch it up today. It's not would you rather, it's what would you do.
Ooh. All right.
What would you do if you won the lottery? What would be the first thing that you bought?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a loaded question.
I probably wouldn't do anything right now.
Well, yeah, given the pandemic,
I feel like there's nothing
gone,
good to invest in.
Given the pandemic is gone, I'd probably, like, travel. Like, I don't know. It's a good question. Like, go to.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, once if this pandemic weren't going on, I'd probably go see stuff, see places.
Yeah, go over to like Italy and Greece and stuff. Maybe Ireland, maybe Scotland, the home of golf.
Yeah.
Book around to St. Andrews.
Go teed up at St. Andrews, yeah.
I'd definitely buy a monkey.
A monkey? That's, is that what I just heard?
That's a good point.
I've always wanted a monkey. Point.
Why? Because you think they're cute or like fun or...
Yeah, and I could train it to kill.
Nice.
Well, think about it. Think about like you go to bed and your monkey has your back. Like anyone comes in the house, you just teach it to like hold.
He's your homie.
Teach it to like hold a gun.
He's got a Glock.
But then if your monkey turns on you and he's pissed, like then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Also, I'd probably buy a Tesla.
All right.
I would.
That's a really good choice.
Not a good investment.
Get like a self-driving Tesla. That'd be kind of sick. I guess like all of them are like that, sick. But
I guess I should ask the question if you can save or invest the money.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I obviously
I'd buy a house probably.
Obviously, yeah, I'd invest
buy some
a
real
large
estate
portion of it, but gotta get that Tesla. Probably get it like a pet monkey. No, just get some weird stuff that you wouldn't get.
If I did it for like the financial aspect, I'd definitely buy some silver.
Just more stables.
I'm not even kidding.
Paper currency.
Oh God!
Exactly.
Stop.
And the prices are low right now. So once this is over, I'll make so much money.
Invest in some oil. It's like negative money right now.
Yeah.
They pay you fine.
Yeah. For the first time ever, last week for like. For a little bit, it was like, it was literally negative
like
money. They were paying people to take it because they had nowhere to put it.
Yeah, it's like farmers.
Because basically, what it came down to is the production of oil wasn't going down, so they had nowhere to put it. Because it's not like you can just like put it in like a field. Like you just can't do that. You gotta have somewhere to put it.
Right.
So they were paying people to take it.
That's crazy.
Which is unbelievable.
That's awesome. At the same time, though, we gotta get this whole thing. We gotta get the economy back, otherwise.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Pretty soon, you gotta start reopening things, no matter what, because like the economy just cannot handle it.
Right. I mean, you're not saying.
I said it last week, but more people will be affected by the economy than the virus itself.
Right. You don't have to.
Whether
make
you're
people
going
go
bankrupt,
like, you don't have to make people go to stores, but you have to just have the option there.
Yeah.
All right, Max.
Yeah.
What do we got next?
All right, next one. If you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do?
Like before we start this, like saying that we
I'd probably try to like eat enough food to give myself a heart attack.
Saying that we already like spent time with our family.
Eat a million Oreos.
Yeah, yeah. So you already spent time
so
with your family, all of your loved ones.
You want.
You can go do anything, buy anything you want.
I know, I'd probably do, like,
whatever.
Bungee jumping or jumping out of a plane. Something like that, like, I wanted to do, but it's, like, too risky.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I'd probably skydive in the morning and then somehow get on Augusta and play Augusta National.
Yeah, I'd sneak onto Augusta.
Like, at all costs. Like, even if you get arrested, like, it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then try and maybe play Pebble in the morning, too. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like
you go across the country.
You could fly overseas and like visit places in Europe. You only have 24 hours, so the flight would take up half of it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
that's a good one. I'd use up all my assets though for sure. Spend all my money.
Leave nothing for your family.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Kind of got to think about it a little bit, but what would you do if you were kidnapped? How would you get away?
If I'm in the trunk, break the taillight out, and if I'm blindfolded and I have a zip tie on me.
I try to just become homies with the dude, and then eventually I leave.
Be like, bro, I respect you for kidnapping me.
Dude, you're sick. I didn't think you could pull this off.
I think the best method is just annoy them until they, like, want you to leave.
I was going to say that, yeah. You can just, like, if I assume he'd put duct tape on your mouth. But, like, you could still hum really annoyingly. Like, just terrible songs.
No, you can do the, what do you call it, hamboning?
Hamboning, yes. Like Patrick the Star. Oh, my God. For all you guys out there that don't know what hamboning is. basically where you just smack your body and make music out of it. It's a genius.
I mean, oh, gosh. Even if you're zip-tied, your hands are zip-tied together, you can still find a way to handbone.
Oh, gosh. Okay, last one. If you can meet any famous person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh.
I mean, based off current events, I feel like it'd be sick to meet MJ.
Yeah.
Just pick his mind.
My list like, would probably be... Like, the dude experienced so much. Like, Jordan, LeBron.
I'd want to meet Tiger, too.
Yeah, Tiger.
Based on what I do and who I am.
I don't know, though. Like, past or present, that makes a whole new, like, dynamic.
Exactly. It could be anyone throughout history.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what if I met Hitler and assassinated him?
Hitler? Yeah.
Saved millions.
You'd be a hero.
But no one would know, though. That's the thing. No one would, like, if I was there with him at that time and murdered him, no one would know that I would have saved that many lives.
Yeah. Maybe you just let, like, a million people die, then do it.
Oh, my God.
That's probably the most morbid take we've ever had.
Then you're the hero.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. Brutal.
But hey, that's like what, a million less deaths than
exactly. No, there was like 6 million.
Yeah.
For six?
Like it was unbelievable.
On a brighter note.
I'd probably have to go with Beetlejuice or Danny DeVito.
Beetlejuice.
They're both great choices.
Beetlejuice.
Just spend the afternoon with Beetle. What's up, Beet?
Yeah.
Cup of dudes.
Slap nuts.
Cup of dudes.
Who you calling slap nuts?
Hang out with
a couple friends. I like that. I think that's a good take. Well, you guys got anything else?
Jackie Robinson. I was just thinking of history. I mean, man.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah. I'm also going to say that.
Oh, you know, it'd be cool.
What's the guy who discovered America?
To someone who got
Columbus.
Columbus, yeah.
Columbus.
I think that'd be good.
Apparently he was a terrible guy and gave syphilis to thousands.
Yeah, he was a terrible dude.
Nice.
Didn't they like kill a ton of Native Americans too?
It was bad.
And we're talking about
at least that's what history says. I don't know how true that is.
But we're hitting all the good topics today.
Yeah. For a sports pod, we've gotten pretty off the rails here, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right, that's what a podcast is.
Wrap it up here.
I think that was pretty solid. Yeah.
I think it was a good day. If you're still listening, I hope you enjoyed.
If you're listening at this point, you deserve a giveaway. But
yeah,
we'll figure that out.
Should we? Yeah, we can just.
We'll do one. We'll set one up for next time.
Yeah.
So
and then we'll whoever's
listening in the next pod, be ready.
Yeah. So check us out.
What are we thinking? Like cash prize?
We can do like card?
You gotta have a Venmo set up.
Yeah. So. We can do like a Venmo each week. Like start with $10 and we'll see where it goes from there. So like if you're listening to this, we might tune in next pod. And if you listen next pod,
make sure to share the podcast because the Venmo amount will be based on our analytics. So
yeah,
we need more listeners.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Last week was solid though. I said we had 3,000.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, not a bad week for starting out. It's not bad. But yeah, share it.
Keep it going.
Let your friends know. We're probably one of the only podcasts out there doing a giveaway right now. So
yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.
You wanna sign us off, Dan?
Yeah. Thanks for listening. 3 Dudes, 1 Pod out.